I take my hat off and salute every woman who keeps a husband, keeps children, keeps a home, keeps a job, and keeps her faith. God bless the women of Ghana in Jesus' name. I thought the ladies would say amen. Amen. But the way we approach problems is differently. That's why I think it must be very difficult for my wife to be married to me, honestly speaking. She survived with me for 31 years. Congratulations. Ayiko, you've done well. Who said amen over here? I'm going to see you after. See, my wife comes to me and says, honey, I have a problem I want to talk about. I just feel like something's wrong. And I say, I have a sermon for that. Take my CD, 3 Steps to Overcoming Your Mood. She said, but I just want us to spend some time together and talk about our relationship. I have a series about that. It's called Covenant Home. Take these CDs and listen. I'm a fixer. She's a feeler. I want to solve problems. She wants to talk about the problems. And God bless her for sticking with me. But see, the fact is men compartmentalize our life. We have our box for work, our box for hobbies, our box for football, our box for food, our box for faith, our box for sex, and they don't mix. You know, you can be having a bad time at work. It doesn't affect the other boxes, let me tell you. And all the men said, tell your wife he's talking about me, honey. See, the truth is, women are integrators. Everything's connected. Everything's related. If they're having a hard time at work, it affects everything. And you know what I mean. Let me give you an example of how this works. The wife comes home and says, honey, I want to talk about our children's school. And so the man gets in his children's school box. He says, well, I can solve this problem. And she says, well, let me tell you what happened. I dropped Kofi off at school this morning, and I noticed that his teacher wasn't very friendly. She didn't look at me. She didn't smile at me. So when I was leaving, I called my friend Maybelle and told her what happened. And do you know what Maybelle told me? She told me that Janet's husband cheated on her, and he's leaving her. Oh, you remember Janet. We went to the wedding last year. That was the wedding you acted like a college fresher and flirted with all the girls. I'm still mad at you for that. Anyway, I got so nervous about poor Janet, I started picking my fingers and I broke my nail. Every lady in Accra has these nails. I couldn't go to work with a broken nail. You know what I mean. Are you listening to me? What kind of a husband are you? Anyway, I had to go to the salon to fix my nail. So I went to the salon, and my boss called me and said, where are you? I couldn't tell him I was at the salon fixing my nail. He's a man like you. He doesn't get it. And so I told him, I'm sick. And then I started thinking, maybe I really am sick. I mean, I've been putting on a lot of weight lately. Have you noticed that I've been putting on? Do you think I put on a lot of weight? Oh, wait a minute. That's why you're not talking to me. You think I put on a lot of weight. You don't love me anymore. You're going to leave me like Janet's husband left her. My mother was right. You don't love me. I thought we were talking about the children's school. We are! Don't you understand? And the differences between them can cause emotional breakdown. The guy is totally confused. He's still thinking about Kofi and the school, and the woman is thinking about so many other things. So here's the thing. When unexpected differences come to your marriage, how do you keep love alive? First of all, you don't try to change your spouse because God made us different. Listen, friends, let me tell you, men, if you keep saying, I wish you were more like me, let me tell you something, men, you don't want to be married to yourself. Let me tell you that. You don't want to. God made us different, and I celebrate the differences of my wife emotionally, physically, communication in every way. It's beautiful. When there's a conflict or when there's unexpected differences, I need to look at myself to see how I can change. For Galatians 6:5 tells us, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. See, friend, if you want to keep love alive in your marriage, you can't be always blaming the other person. Stop trying to change your spouse and work on changing yourself. For every flaw and fault you see in your spouse, there are 10 inside of you. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:3, you can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. What that means is we're blind to our own faults, and those things that were so attractive to us when we were dating have now become things we attack in the other person because we're blind to the areas we ourselves need to change. Reminds me of the story of an old couple that was having a disagreement. The man insisted that the wife was going deaf, but the woman denied it completely. So the man decided to do a test. He came home one day, opened the front door and said, "Hello, honey, I'm home." And she didn't respond. So he went into the parlor and said, "Hello, honey, I'm home." And she didn't respond. He went into the kitchen. She was working at cutting some carrot. Her back was to the husband. And he said, "Hello, honey, I'm home." And she didn't turn around. He said, "Now I have her. I'm going to sneak up on her and tell her that I've been calling to her 3 times. So he went and put his hands on her shoulder and whispered in her ear, "Hello, honey, I'm home." And she turned around and looked at him and said, "I know, I've answered you 4 times already. It's not me that's deaf, it's you." The problem wasn't his wife, it was him. He assumed when she didn't answer, she couldn't hear his question. But what he didn't know is she was responding and he couldn't hear. Most of us think we're always right. That's like the young lady that went home to her mom after getting married and she said, "Mom, I knew he was Mr. Right. I just didn't know his first name was Always." You've got to be willing to examine yourself. For the truth is, your marriage will work when you work for your marriage. To get to that place, you've got to stop blaming your spouse. Stop complaining about your spouse. Stop trying to change your spouse, for you cannot fix the problem when you're always fixing the blame. That's why 1 Peter chapter 3:7 tells us, "In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered." Treat your wife with understanding. And that brings us to our second truth today. Turn your notes over to page 2. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word pursue. The second truth is you've got to pursue your mate. Pursue your mate. First of all, make your marriage your priority. Secondly, pursue your mate. This is where Ephesians 5:31 tells us, "and is joined to his wife." Now, I actually like the King James Version of this verse better. The King James Version says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And I think the word cleave gives us a better picture of what God intends. When we say the man and woman are joined together, it's kind of passive, but the word cleave means to glue, to embrace, to not let go. It creates a picture of a man pursuing his wife, and that pursuing never stops. For the fact is, what you did to win each other's love, you must continue to do to keep each other's love. That's why Proverbs chapter 5 tells us, "Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you always be captivated by her love." And all the ladies said amen. You've got to continue pursuing her. Unfortunately, most of us, once we've got her, we stop pursuing her. We just let her there to go and drift apart. And because of unmet needs, we start looking outside the home for satisfaction. For the challenge to pursuing your mate is unmet needs. It's the time when you think you should be given something and you're not. For a man, unmet needs oftentimes is sexual desire. And for a woman, oftentimes it's intimate conversation. And when a man doesn't get his sexual needs met in the marriage, he starts looking outside. And when a woman doesn't get a husband who understands her and listens to her and communicates with her, she starts looking for emotional satisfaction outside. But if you will pursue your husband and pursue your wife like there is no other, whether your needs are met or not, if you will continue to focus on him and her and continue to focus on your marriage, wisdom will dictate to you that you will yield to one another, and I guarantee you God will restore the love in your home and unite you together as one. If you believe it, say amen. Unfortunately, most of us are so stubborn, we say, I'm not going to yield to him. I'm not going to yield to her. I'm better than that. But listen, friends, listen, especially men. Consideration of your spouse is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. For James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Just say it with me. Willing to yield to others. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. So what do we need to do? Make a commitment to your spouse today. I will make our marriage my priority, and I am going to pursue you. I will not stop. I will not be turned aside. If you don't respond, I'm going to keep coming because I'm focused on you and focused on building a covenant home. Too often we focus on the mundane problems of life when we should be focusing on the big thing God is doing. Reminds me of the man who was walking along the street of Accra. He came to some men who were working on construction. And he asked them, what are you doing? The first man was chiseling a stone. He said, I'm chiseling a stone. He only focused on the task, the chore. The second man said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm earning money so I can eat. He only focused on the benefit he would receive. But the third man said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm building a mighty skyscraper. He focused on the end result. And so it is for us in our marriages. Some men only see their daily role in the home as work, a duty to perform. Some only see it as a temporary benefit. Well, if I do this, I'll have peace in my home. But men who are successful see the big picture. They see every act and every word of their marriage as something more. They see they're building a mighty covenant home. See, gentlemen, when you do chores in your house, when you help your wife, you're not just doing a chore. You're not just trying to keep the peace in the home. When you help your wife, you're building a great marriage. You're building a love that will stand the test of time. And if you want to keep love alive in your home, stay focused on the goal. And I define focus like this: following one course until successful. Following one course until successful. For you see, the fact is, if you follow the course of love, love will blossom. If you speak words of love, love will grow. If you act with words and actions of love, love will be stronger in your home. Focus on love, and love will never leave you. That's why we need Holy Spirit-controlled emotions. Through the good times, through the bad times, when there's unexpected differences, when there's unmet needs, we need the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts and our emotions, to keep focused on what God is doing. For there is powerful reaction in your emotions when you do the right thing. That can be seen in the true story of a woman who came to the famed counselor, Dr. Crane. The woman was furious. She was so bitter with her husband. She came to Dr. Crane and said, I want a divorce. But not only a divorce, I want to punish that wicked, cheating husband. I want to make him suffer. I want you to help me make it hurt. And Dr. Crane thought for a moment. He said, I can help you do that. He said, here's what you do. For the first 2 months, go home and act like you're madly in love with him. The woman said, what? I can't do that. Dr. Crane said, wait, this is the way to stab him in the back. Go home and dress yourself beautifully every day. Cook his favorite food every day. When he comes home, run to greet him at the door and say, oh, darling, I missed you so much. When you do that for 2 months, the husband will fall madly in love with you all over again. He thinks that your marriage is solid. He'll never suspect. Then after 2 months, when you've gotten his heart soft, come and stab him in the back and tell him, I'm leaving you. He'll really suffer. The woman said, yes, that's it. I'm going to punish him. I'm going to make him weep. I'm going to break his heart. I'll pretend like I love him. And at the end of 2 months, I'll walk out on him. 2 months went by. Dr. Crane called the woman and said, are you ready for the divorce now? The woman said, divorce? I don't want a divorce. Oh, Dr. Crane, let me tell you what happened. I went home every day and made myself beautiful. I cooked his favorite food. I met him at the door and told him I missed him. And suddenly, he started responding. He started buying me gifts, and he swept me off my feet, and he took me away for the weekend. And oh, something has happened. Love has been revived in our home. I could never leave him. Because when you invest in your marriage, you will reap a return. When you give love, you get love. When you play your part in marriage, it releases the Spirit of God to work in your spouse and change both of you. Here's the truth you need to pack up and take home today. Motions result in emotions. The ability to love is established not by fervent promise, but by repeated deeds. When you act like you're in love, the feelings follow. And that brings us to our third truth today. Turn your notes over to page 3. Take your pen and fill in the blank with this word, partnership. Celebrate your covenant partnership. Make your marriage your priority. Pursue your mate. And then third, celebrate your covenant partnership. Because when you act in love, when you do what love does, the feelings will follow and you can celebrate and rejoice in your partnership. That's where Ephesians 5:31 says, and the two are united into one. See, Jesus understood the power of partnership. That's why he said in Luke 11, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined and a house divided against itself will fall. And again, in Mark 3, he said, similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. But marriage is a covenant partnership, and we have to be united to make it work. The challenge is there are unresolved conflicts that will come to try to tear apart your partnership. There are unresolved conflicts that will come in the daily activities of life that will try to separate you. And if you don't resolve those conflicts, if you don't settle the quarrel, your partnership will become partisanship. Your unity will dissolve into disunity. But you can have a successful marriage when you learn to forgive, when you learn to release, when you learn to overlook the faults. Sometimes those things were done accidentally. Sometimes they were done intentionally. But no matter whether your husband or wife intentionally hurt you, or whether they mistakenly hurt you, or whether they just don't understand you, the fact is you are responsible before God to forgive them, to release them, and to let the poison of bitterness go from your heart. For a covenant home is not a place of fault finding, it's a place of love finding. Colossians 3 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. And you can overcome every unexpected difference, every unmet need, and every unresolved conflict when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. Make allowance for your differences. Make allowance for your unmet needs. Make allowance for the fact that you may experience conflict. But through it all, you're walking above your emotions by the power of the Holy Spirit. One woman discovered how to do this with the wise words of her grandmother. See, this couple had been married for 60 years successfully and happily. They had no secrets, but just one. When they got married, the woman came into the marriage with a small box. She kept it on the top shelf of her wardrobe, and she told the husband, listen, don't ever ask me about this box. Don't ever look inside of it. It's nothing wrong. It's just something, a secret that I need to keep from you. So the man agreed. Now, 60 years later, after a successful, happy marriage, the woman was diagnosed with cancer and given just a few weeks to live. The husband went to her and she said, darling, it's time for us to discuss the content of that box. The man agreed and he went to the wardrobe, brought the box down, and he opened it. And inside there were two bead necklaces and a stack of 25,000 Ghana cedis. And the man said, darling, what is this? Two bead necklaces and 25,000 Ghana cedis? The woman said, well, before we got married, my grandmother told me that any time I got angry with you, I shouldn't rebuke you, I shouldn't quarrel with you, I should just forgive you and overlook your fault, and to help me do that, I should make a bead necklace. The man said, wow, in 60 years, you only got angry with me twice, you only made two bead necklaces? The lady said, no, honey, That's why the 25,000 cash is there. It's the profit from all the necklaces I sold. Yeah. Unresolved conflicts will come in marriage. Even the best marriages face disagreements. But when we make allowances for one another's faults, when we forgive our partners, then we keep love alive. How do you keep love alive in a marriage? Make your marriage your priority. Let God change you so that you become the spouse your mate needs. Secondly, pursue your mate. Your marriage will work when you work for your marriage. Communicate the truth in love. Share in understanding. And finally, celebrate your covenant partnership. Your one flesh, what God has joined together. Let no man, no quarrel, no emotion rend asunder. Forgive one another. It's not possible in your own strength and power. None of us can meet this ideal. But there is a way that we can do these things. There is a way we can obey God's word. It's simply this. You can keep love alive when you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. See, if you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, He puts His Spirit within you. He gives you the grace to forgive when your spouse has hurt you. He gives you the grace to endure when your needs are not met. He gives you the grace to understand when there's unexplained and unexpected differences. It's the power of the Spirit of God in you, controlling your emotions, that helps you to let go of the anger and to build the love. And that's why I tell you there's one thing you can do today to save your marriage. You don't need to go to counseling right now. You don't need to read another book. The one thing you can do right now today to save your marriage is yield and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. Let His Spirit come and wash away the bitterness. Let His Spirit come and wash away the frustration. Let His love come and permeate your heart. For when you yield and surrender to Him, you've taken the most important step to keeping your marriage and keeping love alive. That's what the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. No matter what has happened to you, how hurt you feel, how betrayed you've been, Jesus is here today to touch you, to heal you, to mend your broken heart, to give you hope, and to restore love to your life. Emotions result in emotions. What you do will determine how you feel. When you act lovingly, you'll begin to feel loving feelings. Now, I know that that's not always easy. Sometimes taking the first step is quite difficult. We have things that have built up in our hearts. We've allowed bitterness and grudges to enter in. The Bible says those things poison our love and kill it. So we've got to have Christ remove those things from our heart. And I pray that you will join me right now in prayer, asking God to do spiritual surgery on your heart. Remove the outer casing of hardness, the scars that have built up. Some of you have been divorced, and the problems from your previous marriage have now entered into your second or your third home. Some of you have been beaten and abused by people from the other sex. And because of that, you are so hardened. You can't really love. You find it difficult to do the things that you ought to do. But I guarantee you, there's nothing too hard for God. Jesus Christ can come and remove that outer casing of scar tissue. He can remove the bitterness and the pain and bring a new softness, a tenderness that will allow you to feel loving feelings once again. Would you bow your head and pray with me right now that God will come and do this work in your heart? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and everyone who's watching this broadcast or listening to this broadcast today. Father, I pray that you'll move upon their hearts do surgery upon us today. Remove the hard outer casing. Remove the shell of bitterness. Remove the scar tissue that is built up in our emotions, oh God, because of abuse or betrayal or hurts or misunderstanding, and give us a soft and tender heart. Come, O God, and take away the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh that is tender and gentle, that can feel your love for one another. Lord, I pray today that you will remove bitterness, that you will help each and every one who's watching and listening to forgive. I pray that you'll touch their hearts today, that they will make that decision to move forward in you, to forget about the past and to begin to do what is loving, that they might once again feel the love for one another, for their spouse, for the significant people in their lives. I thank you and I praise you by faith now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you know that God has spoken to you today or throughout this Covenant Home series, I want to encourage you to give me a line. Write me and tell me what God is doing in your home. I want to know how God is answering our prayers together and how your marriage is being revived and restored to a loving, Spirit-controlled home. Amen. I trust that you'll join me next week. Next week, we're moving on to a very important topic. We're going to be talking about contentment, and we're going to be looking at the physical or the sexual aspect of marriage. This is such a vital part of our marital lives, and I know you'll want to tune in next week on this very station at this day and time for another episode of Covenant Home here on Revelation. Until then, I'm praying for you and your marriage. I'm praying that God will bless you and make your marriage everything that God and you desire. Until next week, may God in His love be with you. Goodbye for now.
Episodes of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb can be downloaded or viewed online at www.revrcw.com. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is also on Facebook and on Twitter at RevRCW. Keep connected with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb to receive revelation and inspiration from God's Word.
Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.